weekly message from Northwest Community Church in Tampa, Florida. Pastor Scott Collins brings you the message.
We are in John chapter 8. Thank you, Dan, for preaching last week. I pray that God use you to minister to people's hearts. He got to talk about the adulterous woman, or the woman caught in adultery. We don't know how adulterous she really was, but we know that she was caught, and Jesus used that to launch into a series of teaching about sin and our sin nature. He said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. So he's in the midst of that, dealing with our sin nature. And everybody who is about to stone this woman does what? They drop their stones, realizing that inwardly they're all sinners. Even if outwardly they're living a righteous life, inside in their hearts they all know deep down they've lied, they've lusted, they've longed for things and envied for stuff that didn't belong to them. So they drop their stones, they walk away. We live in a world where real people have real needs, and they need a real Jesus. Everywhere, everyone is rotten to the core. We are all dead on the inside. When you watch somebody do something, say, I can't believe they did that. Don't say that. Because the reality is that we're all dead inside. We have a sinful nature, that out of that nature goes lust and addiction, habits and hang-ups and all kinds of issues that form in us. And it catches us by surprise when somebody does something and we're like, oh, I can't believe they did that. Why not? Why can't we believe it? Because we want to believe that we are better than we really are. And that's a problem. And what we all need is, we need to turn on the light. We've got to take a good look inside. And we've got to realize who we really are, so that we can stay close to God. Because without Him, we have no hope. We have no help. There's nothing to enable us to do what's right. Without God, we do not have the capacity to be righteous or holy or good or kind or loving or gracious. We can't do that without His help. So we've got to turn on the light, because He is the light. And we also have to let the world see His light. How has Jesus impacted your life lately? What is He showing you? What is He teaching you? Good. Somebody got something? Jesus showing you something? Tell us. Patience. What else? Mercy. He's teaching you mercy. One at a time. Just stand up. One at a time. Right? If you got something God is teaching you or showing you, stand up for us. Let's all hear it. One at a time. Anybody? I said stand up. That means you got to stand up. Dino, back here in the corner. And I'll call your name. Go ahead. That's what He's teaching you? Okay. Leslie. Thank you. To be with your church family. Ian. Passion, love, and strength. That's what He's teaching you. Anybody else? Satch? To trust Him. It's good. I'll call your name, I said, Susie. Just wait a minute. Amanda. That's right, to own our own weakness. In our weakness, He is strong, right? That's what the Bible says. His grace is sufficient. Somebody else was over here. Joe? Right. Follow me as I follow Christ, trusting in other people. Forgiveness, man, that's big. That's big. God wants to teach us all how to forgive and to walk in that grace and mercy. Mike? Surrender. Letting go. Letting Him have His way and His will in our lives. Anybody else? God teaching you anything? Is He showing Himself to you? Revealing Himself? Sean? To accept that grace that He offers, right? Randy?
Always teaching me the truth.
I said stand up. Oh, sorry. Well, both feet were on the ground, officially. I'm just kidding. I love you. Us short guys, man, we got problems. I tell Nick that all the time. Yes, there are. You know, the average height is 6 foot. And I'm way below that. I just don't understand it. Oh, sorry, Tara. That's right. Nobody's perfect but Jesus. God teaching you anything. Dan? Wow. I'm glad he's teaching you that. That's good. Joy is better than control. That is awesome. Anybody else? Look, we're supposed to be learning and growing all the time. And I want to tell you that God is always teaching if you'll open your eyes. If you'll look, if you'll listen. He's always showing us. Sometimes we're just blind and we don't see it. But he's always at work. Jesus used this illustration of a woman caught in adultery to teach. So the woman walks away. He says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I was going through this passage all week long in my head and my heart, writing it down, looking at it, thinking about it. And I was thinking about the light of life. I was like, man, darkness. Darkness, you know, equates to evil, equates to sin. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Well, the key is, it doesn't say whoever believes in me. Because people say, I believe in Jesus. It says whoever follows me. So the real question then came to my mind was, are we following? And if we are following, what does it really look like to follow Jesus? To go where Jesus goes, to believe what Jesus believes, to do what Jesus did, to give like Jesus gave, to love like Jesus loved. Because if you don't ever want to be in the darkness, you got to follow. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Do you think Jesus ever had a time where he pulled over and thought, let me lust a little bit. Let me lie a little. Let me take something that doesn't belong to me. No. So if we're following him, we are going to be people of integrity, people of character. And our focus won't be on what's around. It'll be on him. Because if you're going to follow somebody, what do you got to do? You got to fix your eyes on them. If I say, follow me, Timothy, come up here and follow me. Come on. If I say, follow me right now, come up here. And you're going to follow me. And he's supposed to follow me. And I go like this, and you're following me. You got to watch where I'm going. If you're going to follow me, I mean, if I go that way and this way, then you can't follow. Thank you, Timothy. You have to. No, you're good. You can sit down now. In order to follow, you've got to focus on what you're following. How can you follow Jesus if you don't know where he's at, if you're not fixed on him? So he says, whoever follows me, and I was intrigued by that, will never walk in darkness. I was like, man, I don't want to live in the darkness. Darkness is evil. Darkness is bad. You can't see where you're going. When it's dark, you don't even know what's around you. You stumble, you fall, right? Because you're in darkness. How many times have you done things and you step back and said, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. Well, why would you say something you can't believe you said? Or why would you do something you can't believe you would do? Because you weren't in the light. Because you were already walking in darkness and just didn't realize it. You were unaware that you would stumble, you would slip, and you're in the darkness. You're taking your eyes off Jesus, and now you're walking on your own. You're not following Jesus. You're just living your life. You're living the dream, baby. You're just going through the dream. You're doing what you want to do, when you want to do it, and how you want to do it. You're banking. You're filling your pockets. You're thinking about yourself, but you're not following Jesus. Yeah, you go to church on Sundays. You pick up your Bible a couple times a week, but you're not following Jesus. Jesus says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. And then he says, but we'll have the light of life. The light of life. I was like, man, the light of life. And there are a couple of passages that just kept coming to my mind, like Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, where Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Nobody lights a lamp, puts it under a bowl so it can't be seen. And then he said, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they might see your good deeds. That your Father in heaven might be glorified, that God might be exalted because of your light. But Jesus says he is the light of life. And then I traced it back to John's opening statement. If you look in John, as he teaches, everything goes back to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. The prologue, remember? It's theological in nature. And everything that he says is based out of those first 14 verses. So I went back to verse 4 and 5 and read it in context. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word is Jesus, right? The living, eternal God. And then it says in verse 4 and verse 5, it says, in Him was life. Right? Apart from Jesus, there's no life. He made everything. He holds everything together. In Him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness. His light is greater than any darkness. Do we agree? His light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. How is your light shining? Is the world seeing your light? I asked you to share what Jesus was doing in your life. If you can't share what Jesus is doing in your life here within a group of believers, how are you going to share out there in the dark? How are you going to share when you're around a bunch of lost people, a bunch of people that don't know Jesus? How are you going to talk about Jesus? How are you going to show the light? How are you going to let people see who He is in you if you can't even do it in here? We're supposed to let our light shine. He is the light of life. He wants to be in us and work through us so the whole world can see it. And the darker the area, the greater the light. You say, I don't like my job, man. Nobody's a believer there. A bunch of pagans in there. And I don't even have a good testimony. Like, man, I was never a crack addict. Darn it. I need to do something better than that. I was raised in church. I've always been a good person. What? Look, you be whoever you were created to be. You got to let your light shine in the person that God created you to be. You don't need a better testimony because everybody is dead. He redeemed and saved us all. It's His love, it's His grace, it's His mercy that shines through us. It's His work in us. And we've got to let that light shine so that people can see the Jesus. We've got to turn on the light. The Pharisees challenged Him. Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid, Jesus answered. Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. According to the law, if somebody brought up an issue, if you came and said, Tom wronged me, then we would have to say, all right, we need two witnesses to validate what Tom did. If there were no witnesses, it was dropped. But if there were two witnesses, it was considered valid. It was true. And the same thing for your testimony. If you shared something, you needed witnesses, according to the law, to verify that what you were saying was true. Because if you really even think about it, the reason God gave us the law is by default, He knows we're sinful. Because we'll manipulate, we'll lie, we'll twist the truth. So even by default, you say, well, why would God give the law? Knowing that we can't keep the law, to reveal how sinful we really are. That even in the law, it reveals the depths of our sinfulness. That we have to have witnesses to validate our testimony. So Jesus basically says, look, my testimony is valid. It is valid not because of what I've said, but because of where I'm from. Well, where are you from? He's from heaven. Where He's from. Where are you from? Heaven. Look, if you are born again, you have a new home, a new identity, a new nature. This isn't your home anymore. The Bible says in 1 Peter, actually, I want to read it to you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. It says, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world. Aliens. What is an alien? It's a foreigner. Somebody comes from another planet. I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans. What's the word pagan mean? It means know, N-O, God. That's what it means. Know God. People that have no relationship, they don't know God, they don't believe in God, know God. A pagan is anybody who's lost. At one time, we were all pagans. We're supposed to live such good lives in front of the pagans, those who don't know God, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your what? Good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Again, it revolves back to us being the light, but we are aliens and strangers. Jesus said, this isn't my home. I'm not from here. I'm from above. You're from below. It's the same for us. This isn't our home. And because it's not our home, we need to open up the Bible and we need to fill our minds with truth to understand how we're supposed to live, because we have been so affected and infected by our culture. You say, no, I haven't. Yes, you have. Every one of us. I see it every day in my own life, and it sickens me. The influence of our culture in my mindset, in my thoughts. The culture is constantly influencing us and drawing us and enticing us. It's constantly taking us away from dependence on a holy God, leaning on him and loving him and trusting him. Jesus says, you judge by human standards. What is our standard? Our standard is not what people think. It's not the culture. It's not the world. Our standard is the Word of God. Well, how are you going to know the Word of God unless you're in it? Unless you're reading it and studying it and loving it and learning it? When's the last time you sat down and just read and ate it up and said, man, I love your Word, God? David said, your word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light to my path. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. The word of God is critical for us. It's necessary. You as an individual can't depend on your father, your mother, your friend, your neighbor, your spouse. You have to walk in God's grace in the word of God. You and you alone. You can't do it for your kids. You can't do it for your spouse. You can't do it for your friends. You have to do it. It's got to be you and Jesus, or you'll always judge the world by its own appearance, by human standards. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one, meaning I don't put anybody down. I know the truth. I'm not here to elevate myself, because it's not my time. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I'm not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. His first testimony is valid because of where he's from. His second, it's valid because the Father's with me. He is with me and we are one. He stands with me. Think about that. Who stands with you? If you're truly a Christ follower, Jesus stands with you. He walks with you. No matter how hard you try to shake him, try to do your own thing, like, oh man, he will never leave you. If you're truly a believer, he will never forsake you. He's there. But you want to act like sometimes he's not even there. You're like, oh, just leave me alone right now, Jesus. I got my own decisions to make. I got things I need. No, don't talk to me about giving. I don't want to give right now. I want to buy this new car. God, yeah, no, I can't do that. He's always there. It's up to us to yield to him and to surrender ourselves to him, to listen to him. Jesus said, in your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself, and my other witness is the Father who sent me. My testimony is valid because I'm from above, number one. Two, because the Father stands by my side. I'm with the Father. And three, it's because the Father testifies for me. We say, how does the Father testify for him? How does God testify for the Son? How do you know that Jesus is God? Anybody? How? How do you know right now that Jesus is God? How do you know that he was God? The miracles that he did authenticates, validates that he was who he said he was. You see anybody else walking on the water? You see anybody else raising the dead? You see anybody else healing all the sick? Giving sight to the blind? No. The things Jesus did had never been done before. They were real. And they authenticated who he was. And that was a testimony from God the Father. Because even the Jews believed that all miracles came from where? The Father. God the Father. So he's saying the Father has validated me. He's with me. That's why I'm able to heal the paralytic who had been laying at the pool for how long? 38 years. Can you imagine? You're crippled, you're bent up, and you're laying somewhere for 38 years. I don't want to lay still for 2 days. Much less 38 years. 38 years. And Jesus just, take up your mat and walk. They're like, what? I mean, think about it. Atrophy, no muscle. All of a sudden, not only did he get up, but his muscles instantaneously grew and strengthened. And were completely restored. Talk about a miracle. God authenticated that Jesus was who he was. Look, if you're not sure, say, God, show me that Jesus is who he is. And if he really is the Son of God, if he really is the only way for salvation, God, give me the desire to truly follow him. Not just to believe in him, not just to know about him, but to follow him. Because I don't want to walk in darkness. Anybody here want to walk in darkness? You see, I think half the people that say they believe in Jesus, they don't want to walk in darkness. But they're deceived. There's a deception that has filled our church with, you can just believe. Just pray a prayer. Walk an aisle. Just believe in Jesus. It's all okay. You just believe. And then you live for God. You go to church. You get all these moral codes and these ethics. And you do these right things. And you check them off. And when you have a struggle, you look at where your weakness is. And you figure out how you can get better. But look, there is no getting better. Nobody needs a better version of you. You sure don't want a better version of me. What you want is me crucified with Christ. Dead. So that Christ might live through me. Because then you'll see his love. Then you'll see his mercy. Then you'll see his grace. But if you get a better version of me, you're not going to get very much. Because it's dark in there. God bears witness to the Son. So they say, then they asked him, where's your father? All right, you're going to talk about your dad. Where's your father? They're not thinking about heavenly father. They're thinking about earthly father. They're thinking about Joseph. They're always on the natural. They're always in the physical. They're talking literal. Jesus is talking beyond them. He's talking spiritual things, supernatural things. Not physical, but spiritual. But they're like, okay, where's your father? I don't see him. Where's he at? So then where's your father? You do not know me or my father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offering was put. Yet no one seized him. Now remember, last chapter we saw that they had decided that they were going to take Jesus, arrest Jesus, and kill Jesus. The Jews had come up with a plan. They had sent the guards to do that. And what was going on? Were they doing it? No. John wants you to know that even though they had decided to, even though they had intent, God would not allow it to happen because it wasn't his time. Now you got to hear me, please, just for a second. This is worth the cost of a mission. How many times do you worry about stuff? Well, what if they do this? What if so-and-so does that? What if this happens? Think about it. When you worry, what if this happens or what if that happens? What you're not trusting in is the full sovereignty and grace of God. Because whatever happens is in his will. It's in his hands. If it's not time yet, nothing's going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Just like they couldn't arrest him. They had already intended to. They'd already decided to. So what if people are going to smear your name? What if they're going to make you look bad? Does it really matter? It's in God's hands. He's going to take care of it. You do what he wants you to do, not what you want to do. Because naturally, when somebody attacks us, what do we want? We want to defend ourselves. If somebody comes and says something to us, we want to naturally put up our defenses. It's a natural thing. But what God is saying to us, no, you're dead. Don't defend yourself. Rest in me. If God is for us, who can be against us? Right, Susie? If God is for us, who can be against us? We have to learn to rest in Him. John wants us to know that they had planned to seize Him, but he says, yet no one seized Him because His hour had not yet come. He's letting you know that they had decided to do something that they wanted to do, but God was not willing or allowing it to happen because it wasn't Jesus' time. Nothing is going to happen to you unless God allows it, good or bad. Do you believe that? Do you really, really believe that? Because if you do, there's no reason for you to ever worry again. You hear me? You don't have to worry. What good is worrying going to do? Is it going to change anything? It's going to make you stronger, make you healthier? No, it'll do the opposite. It'll get you sick on the inside because you'll get ulcers and your stomach will get messed up. It takes away life because you're anxious and you're nervous. You just got to rest in Jesus. You got to rest in Jesus and realize that He's got it all. Once more, Jesus said to them, I am going away. And you will look for me. And I love this because He puts it right in their face. And you will die in your sin. Man, that's harsh. It doesn't get any harder than that. God telling you right in your face, you will die in your sin. That's heavy. That's scary. Could you imagine the God of this universe looking at you, Joe, and saying, you will die in your sin? Because if God said it, that settles it. That's it, right? God said it, that settles it. You agree, Doug? Yeah. Man, He says, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Where's He going? He's going to heaven. He's from heaven. They're from below. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, will He kill Himself? Is this why He says, where I go, you cannot come? Because they're still thinking what? Literal, physical, natural. They can't see beyond His words. Look, when somebody says something to you and it hurts your feelings, all you're hearing and seeing is what? Their words or their actions, right? Am I right? Think about it. You've got to learn to see beyond that because there is a spiritual battle. It's real. The Bible says we fight not against flesh and blood. When you worry about something, there's a spiritual battle going on in your heart and mind. The angels are warring over your decisions and your choices. There's a real thing happening. And we have to, as believers, learn to surrender to His will, to His work, to His way, knowing that God's got it. If you took all the energy and the time that you spent worrying and invested that in the kingdom of God, we'd be turning this world upside down. We have to give up, and it's easy to say. You hear me? It's easy to say, let's not worry. I'm not going to worry anymore. How many times have you said that to God? God, I'm not going to worry anymore. I'm going to trust You with everything. How many times have you told God, I'm not going to do that anymore, God. I'm not going to do that. And then a day later, 6 weeks later, you find yourself doing the same thing you said you'll never do again. Amen? Why? Why do we do that? Because we're rotten at the core. And we stop depending on His grace and His presence and His power. We have to realize that we, as believers, have to leave this world behind. You got to let it go. You got to let it go. Man, it's calling you. It's pulling you. It's wanting you. But as believers, we have to let it go. Jesus said, but He continued, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am He. I am that I am. Unless you see Him for who He is, you will die in your sins. That's the whole world. If they don't see Jesus for who He is, that He is the Logos, the living Word, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. He is everything. We got to let go of this world. It's not about your stuff. It's not about your money. It's not about your retirement. It's not about padding your pockets. It's not about your next business deal. It's not about your transactions. It's not about how much money you make. It's not about any of that stuff. It's not about buying the newest and latest and greatest thing. It's not about your next cruise. It's not about this stuff. Yeah, enjoy the stuff that God allows you to have. I'm not saying you shouldn't enjoy it because it's a gift. It's a blessing. But when you worry about it and you work for it and you have to have it, it becomes your God. And that's idolatry. How many times have we replaced God with our stuff or our kids or our sports or our recreation? You can't replace God with anything because God is God. But we try. Jesus says, but you are from below and I am from above. You are of the world and I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am He. You will indeed die in your sins. Listen, if there is something that you will not let go of before God, then that is your God. Hear me. If there's something that you say, God, I need this. God, I have to have this. Then that's your God. You got to come to Him empty-handed. You got to lay it all down and say, God, I will be whatever you want me to be. I will go wherever you want me to go. I will do whatever you want me to do. I just want to be yours. I want to love you. I want to follow you. I mean, that's what it means to follow Jesus, to really follow. I'm not talking about good church life. I'm not talking about you sing in the choir. I'm not talking about you do all the right moral things. I'm talking about what it really looks like to follow Jesus. Following Jesus is like Randy Lay, who comes up here and sacrifices, who serves like Phil. People that just surrender, Scott Dockstader, who takes time to teach the kids and go to youth and set up for when we do dinners and foods. And just really saying, Lord, whatever. Whatever, whenever. Whatever you want me to be, whatever you want me to do. I want that for my life. And I want that for your life. Because it's the only life that is real. It's the only life that is worth having. So let everything go and have Jesus. Where you just focus on Jesus. Where you want Jesus so much that you get up and you read your Bible. And you pray and you sing. And you love Him. And you talk about Him. And He's always on your mind. And He's always in your heart. And you're consumed with Him. Not with your stuff, not with your fun, not with your sports, not with your kids, but you're consumed with Him. You got to let the world go. John also said this when he wrote his next letter from the island of Patmos. And I just wanted you to see this because you got to hear it. He said, do not love the world or anything in the world. When he's talking about not the planet, he's not talking about saving the earth. He's talking about the system of this world, the cultures. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them because you can't have both. You can't love the world and what it gives you and love Jesus at the same time. You just can't do it. You can't be wholeheartedly, fully devoted to Jesus and be fully devoted to your stuff, to your house, to your career, to your spouse, to your kids. You can't do it. It's got to be God first. And then wherever He leads you, everything else falls in place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then Jesus said, verse 34, why do you worry about tomorrow? Tomorrow has enough worries of its own. He's like, you don't got to worry about it. Just seek me. Trust me, I'll take care of everything. When's the last time you worried about money? Raise your hand. Come on, be honest. Worried about paying your bills. Worried about losing your job. Worried about your spouse, whether they're being faithful or not faithful. Don't raise your hand. All the stuff that we worry about is stupid. Because first of all, worrying doesn't do anything. And what we're trying to say is, I need control. But as Dan said, joy is better than control. Any day. And if we surrender to Him, guess what we'll have? Joy. True joy and peace. When Nick fell, it was scary. I had just spent 2 days there. I was there Thursday and Friday all day. I hung out with him. We hung some drywall in his bathroom. We did some work over there, and we had a really good time. We went to dinner together. Me, him, and Tiff, you know, just hung out. It was awesome, right? So I leave, and then I get the phone call that he's fallen and he's really bad. It's scary. Now I had two options. Take this to Jesus or worry. It's always a choice. Worrying wasn't going to do anything. So I immediately took it to Jesus. We prayed in the car. Me, Adam, and Seth, didn't we? They'll tell you. We prayed. I said, we got to pray right now. And we prayed for him right in the car. Pulled the car over, and we sat and we prayed. Prayer. Laying it down. Giving it to him. Trusting in him. And then I told Tiff the same thing, that I'm praying for you right now. And then I'm praying that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. That's what we need. When we struggle with difficulty or circumstances that are beyond our control, we need peace, knowing that God is sovereign, that he's in control, and that he can handle it. That's what we need. And look, you might not be going anything right now, but you will one day. You will. You're going to face it. You're going to see it. You're going to know it. So stop loving the world. Let it go. Do not love the world or anything in the world. For if anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. You can't love the Father and the world at the same time. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, what is that? Pleasure. The lust of the eyes, power, and the pride of life, position, comes not from the Father, but from this world. The world and its desires will pass away, but the man who does the will of God will live forever. Are you following his will? You got to follow his will for your life. I can't tell you what his will is for you, but you need to be in his word. And his will is not hard. Like, you're all looking, everybody wants, oh, what is God's will? Oh, do I need to go to China? No, his will is right here in his word. That's why you need to love the word. I love that about Randy. He loves the word. Doug is a master of the word. You want to know something about the Bible? Talk to Doug. Talk to Randy. They know the word because they love it. You want to get an answer in 2 hours? Talk to Dino. Take a little while. He'll get it. He'll find it. But it'll take a while. Because he's going to research all the options. Look. You got to let go of the world. You got to let go of the world. It has a grip on us, all of us. It holds us. It wants us. It's calling us. What is keeping you from loving God with all that you are? What is the one thing? There's something that just holds you back. All of us have it, and the devil knows it. See, the devil knows it because he gets a stronghold. He wants to work his way in there and get a hold of your ankle. He wants to lock it up, an ankle lock, right? He wants to hold it down so that he can't let you go. And you're trying to go through life, and you're trying to follow Jesus, but it's really hard when he's got a hold of your ankle. He's on there, locked on there, and you're like, man, if I could just let go of that pornography, I'd be all right. Man, if I could just let go of that materialism and struggling with my career or my money or my fear or getting high or getting drunk or whatever it is that is holding you back, man, you got to cut it off. You got to let it go. Who are you? They asked Jesus. Just what I have been telling you from the beginning, Jesus replied, I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world. Two things real quick. I got a lot to say about you, but I'm not going to say it right now. I'm just going to trust the Father's plan. Even Jesus was thinking, I just want to blow it out right now. But he didn't do what he wanted to do. This is an instance where I'm telling you, Jesus said, I got a lot to say. He knows all their sins. He just wrote them all down in the sand. Remember that last week? You read about the adulterous woman. They said, what was Jesus writing? Probably every one of their sins. Just listing them out. Just laying them down. And then he wants to tell them. He wants to drop, but it's not time. So he says, my Father's trustworthy. He's not relying on his own wisdom, on his own desires, on his own. He's trusting in the Father. That's the first thing I want you to see about that verse. The second thing is that he does something that's important. He tells the world what he's learned. That's our job, to be a herald, an ambassador for Christ. Are you honestly telling people about Jesus? Nothing else really matters. I mean, you go out and you'll make your sale, right? If you're a salesman, you got to sell that job because you know that your family depends on it. You have to have money. You have to put money in the bank. You have to pay your bills. So you'll do whatever you have to do because you want to provide. But are you willing to do whatever you have to do so somebody doesn't go to hell for all eternity? Are you willing to pray for them? Get on your knees and spend hours praying for their salvation. Are you willing to cry for them? Are you willing to sacrifice your money or your time or whatever it takes to reach that person for Jesus? Because when it all said and done and we're standing before God, all that's going to matter is what we did for Him. Ain't all this other stuff going to really matter? It's not. What's going to matter is if we glorified Him, we served Him, and we loved Him. It's not going to matter how many figures you had in the bank. It's not going to matter how much money you made. It's not going to matter how much power you had, what your position was in life. I was the CEO. What's going to matter is, did you serve Him with all your heart? Did you love Him faithfully? Were you willing to do whatever He called you to do? They did not understand that He was telling them about His Father. So Jesus, when He had lifted up the Son of Man, said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. They didn't understand. And so He refers to the cross. When you put me on the cross, when you crucify me, then the world will know. And the world does know. Look, people hate Jesus. And that's why we're afraid to tell people that we're Christians. We're afraid to share the gospel. We're afraid to talk about Him all the time. Because we know that things happen. There was a guy arrested up in North Carolina. Just heard about this. From passing out tracts. Right? Passing out tracts, and they arrested him. In North Carolina. The Bible Belt. He was in an airport. Passing out tracts. And I talked to a state trooper on Friday. We went to a charity event, me, Nick, and Tiff, to a charity event for a trooper who was 20 years old and got shot to death 3 times in the chest by a guy from Florida. Go figure, right? Guy from Florida said, I'm not going back to jail. Shot him 3 times and killed him. So we're at this charity event, and we're talking about God and find out that people are being arrested all over. We don't even hear about it because the news doesn't want you to know that people are being arrested for their faith. But I'm telling you, we need to be sharing and not be afraid of what people think or say. Because if you really care about somebody, you got to tell them about Jesus. If He is truly the only way. And He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. What do we need? What are we missing? Power. We need His power. His power is always in His presence. If you don't have power in your life to overcome your sin, it's because you're not in His presence. If you can't overcome your addiction, it's because you're not in His presence. If you can't say the right thing at the right time, if you got to let cuss words fly out of your mouth, you're not in His presence. That's why. You're lacking power. And power is found in the presence of Christ. When you are with Him, and He is with you, and He is in you and working through you, you have power to do immeasurably more than you can even imagine or ask. Why? Because it's His power in you. It's His ability. Anybody here ever lack power? I do. I lack power because I know that when I lack power, that's a red flag. Red flag. Scott, you're walking in your flesh. You're not trusting. You're not leaning on me. You're not talking to me. You're on your own. You're out here on your own. You're trying to leave me behind. You're not following me anymore. When I want to look at something I shouldn't look at. Like, oh, that's my flesh. Red flag. Don't look at that. Turn your eyes. Put your eyes on me. Follow me. He wants us to follow Him. I love this last verse in John that we're looking at. There's a couple other verses that I want you to see real quick. The one who sent me is with me. Now Jesus is talking about His power. Because as a man, He's walking in the flesh. He's walking as a person like us. 100% God, 100% man. And He's yielding Himself to the Spirit of God so that we see how it's done. Right? He's God, but He's laid aside the right, the use of His deity. Philippians 2:6, right? He's laid it aside. He's humbled Himself. And so He's walking as a person, leaning on the Holy Spirit. We saw the Holy Spirit descend on Him, when he was baptized. Remember, the dove comes down, represents the Holy Spirit that is showing that he is submitting himself to the power and authority of the Holy Spirit. Because he's setting the scene for us. The Holy Spirit lives in all of us. If you are a true believer, the Holy Spirit lives in you. You have the same power that Jesus has. You can walk the way Jesus walks. So he gives you the capacity to follow him. So he says, the one who sent me is with me. Well, who's sending us? Jesus. Who's with us? Jesus. Does that make sense? The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. For I always do what pleases him. Man, I wish we could say that, right? For I always, that's why he's sinless and we're not. That's why my name should be Scott Sinful Collins. I'm going to change it. Scott Sinful Dockstater. I'm just going to change all of our names. If you have a name that begins with Scott, it's going to be Sinful in the middle. Or Adam Sinful Collins. It doesn't matter. We should all be sinful. We should be reminded that we are by nature sinful. That we're not good. That we need Christ all the time. It's when we stop thinking we need him. It's when we feel like we haven't mastered. We've conquered this Christian thing. When we pat ourselves on the back and we say, I'm doing pretty good. I mean, I haven't lusted in a while. I haven't told any lies. I'm doing really good. Well, all you're doing then is you're walking in your own strength. You don't realize that you're not depending on him. It's only when you utterly understand how rotten you are and how desperately in need of Christ you are that you can surrender to him fully. Jesus says, the one who sent me is with me. Man, I'm depending on the Holy Spirit. God is in me, and he has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. And even as he spoke, many believed in him. Now, here's the goal. I always do what pleases him. As Christ's followers, we have a goal, right? You want to please him? Yes or no? Well, only half of you said yes. The rest of you don't want to please him? It's okay. Just be honest, all right? It's all right. We're going to stone you after the service, all right? We're going to have a stoning out back. We always want to please him. Well, what's our goal? All right, look, if you go to get a job and you work in a company, they have what they call job evaluations, right? Because you have a job title. You have a job description. The description is what you're supposed to do. If you go to work every day and you just sit at your desk and play on your computer and you text and you don't do anything, are you going to keep your job? No. Not unless you're retired like Mike, right? You can sit home and play all day. But if you have a job and you go to work and you sit in an office, you got to work. You can't just play. You have to do what you're supposed to do. And then every year they do an evaluation to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And then you get raises, right? I mean, that's how it's supposed to be. But you're supposed to get raises according to whether you perform well or not. And you get percentages. Job evaluations. Well, I think it should be the same way with God. Thankfully, I'm not God. You're lucky I'm not God. Because I'd be evaluating us all the time. And we wouldn't get just raises. We'd get cuts. Oh, you're going to spend a week in hell. All right? Just because you didn't. You know, I'd just like, by the time I died, I'd be in trouble. I'd be spending like 10 years in hell before I'd go to heaven. Purgatory would be a real thing. But it doesn't work that way. Well, here is your job description. It's yours and mine. It's all of ours. Matthew 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, first of all, he wants them to know, all authority. It means I am more powerful than anything over all things. In heaven and where you live, right here, I got it. It's all in my hand. Where does all authority belong? To Jesus. Right here, right now. He's got it all in his hands. All authority. He clarifies that before he gives them their statement. This is what you're supposed to do. Therefore, because of who I am, I'm sending you. Therefore, go and make disciples. How's that working for you? Are you making disciples? This is your job description. Let's evaluate you right now. Let's bring you up here one at a time and find out how many disciples you've made and how many you're making. Man, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? We'd be running for the back door. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. You can't teach somebody to do what you're not doing. You got to live it. You got to do it. You got to teach them to follow you as you follow Christ. And then he gives this awesome statement. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You got nothing to fear. Nothing to fret. I'm right here. I am the power you need to do what I've called you to do. I'm here, right now. All authority in heaven and earth. You don't got to worry about anything anymore. Just trust Him. Lean on Him. Look to Him. Live in His presence. As you have fellowship with Him and connect Him, what are you doing? You're abiding. That's why Jesus said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. We need that intimate connection with Jesus 24/7. You can't just get it on Sundays and think you're going to be fine spiritually. You need it every day, all the time. You got to talk to Him. You got to think about Him. You got to walk with Him, even while you're at work. You do your job. I'm not telling you not to do your job, but you do your job. You talk to God. You do your job. You pray. You don't got to be out loud. You don't want to stand on the street corner and be like, all right, Lord, I'm taking my break now. Here I am, Lord, look at me. No, you just pray in your mind, pray in your heart all the time. Talk to Him. When you have a few minutes at your break, take out your Bible. Go sit out in a quiet place, sit under a tree, pick it out, read a psalm. Oh, Lord, you search me and you know me. Seek Him because you'll find Him. He's given us a job to do, and we're not doing a very good job of it. We're not. But we need to focus on who He is and what He's called us to do, and then do it. Last passage I want you to see, and I broke it up. Last one, Hebrews chapter 13. I love these two, and I just wanted to put them together because they're about leaving us. Keep your lives free. All right, hear this, people. This is America. Keep your lives free from the love of money. People say, I don't love money. I just love what it does for me. It's the same thing. Keep your lives free from the love of money. Is life easier when you have more money? No. That's a deception. See, that's a lie that Satan tells us. The more money you have, the easier it'll be on you. It's not true. You go do a research on all the richest people in the world. Find out how miserable their lives were. Go look at how many people win the lottery and how they end up bankrupt and more broke than they are after they win than they were before. Money doesn't solve anything. Because if you can't handle a little money, you sure ain't going to handle a lot. You think, oh, I can't handle my $100 a week. Well, you think you're going to handle $100,000 a week? You're going to be in the same debt you were in before. It's learning to manage what you have. And that's what it says. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, and this is why, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. He's with you. What else do you need? Do you really need more? Does bigger have to be better? Man, you need Jesus. You don't need stuff. You need Jesus. You don't need new cars. You need Jesus, not more vacations. We need Jesus. 24/7, all the time. We need to desire Him and want Him and love Him and realize that He's with us. And if we live in His presence, He'll work in us and He'll work through us and He'll use us. And we'll see Him glorified. And in the same context, verse 6, last verse. So we say with what? Confidence. Now, this is in context. You have to see it in its context. I won't even go to the next verse because it tells you to obey your leaders and you don't want to hear that. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. You don't ever got to worry. You don't ever have to be afraid of anything. Why? Because the Lord is with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you. You don't ever have to be afraid. I can say this with confidence. The Lord is with me. Say that with me. The Lord is with me. Say it again. The Lord is with me. Say it again. The Lord is with me. I want you to say that today, throughout your day, at least 100 times. I want you to practice His presence. Say, the Lord is with me. Thank you, Jesus, for being with me. Try it. The Lord is with me. Thank you, Jesus, for being with me. The Lord is with me. Thank you, Jesus, for being with me. Talk to Him. Thank you that you'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. Thank you that I can lean on you. Thank you that I can trust you. All day long today, 100 times at least. And you know what? Do it again tomorrow. And then the next day. And the next day. And you know what? You'll start practicing His presence. You'll realize He's always with you. And you'll be able to say with confidence, the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. And you'll know that you can do anything, because we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Who can come against us? Will death, nor height, nor any separation in all creation separate us from the love of God? No. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What are you afraid of? You're afraid of what people think about you? You're afraid of what people say about you? You're afraid of what people see you and view you? You're afraid of not having enough money? Afraid of being poor? What is it you're afraid of? You don't have to be afraid. Afraid that people won't love you? What can mere mortals do to me? If God is for me, who can be against us? Man, I want you to know that God wants to give you abundant life. It's here for all of us. Abundant life that is filled with glory and grace and joy and peace and love. It's here. All we got to do is walk with Him. Practice His presence. It'll change our lives forever. I'm sending you on a mission this week. All right? Every one of you. I want you to share the gospel with at least 5 people this week. All right? 5 people. Write it down if you can't remember. 5 people. That's right. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. There are 5 days in a weekday. I want you to share the gospel at least once with somebody each day. How am I going to do that? I don't know. Do it. Go to McDonald's. Sit down and find somebody. Hey, you by yourself? Can I talk to you for a minute? Go to Starbucks. People are always by themselves at Starbucks. Hanging out. Just say, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? I just wanted to tell you something. I just wanted to tell you that God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus. And Jesus came to earth. And I don't know if you know this or not, but He laid down His life that our sins might be forgiven, that we might be free, that we might have eternal life. And I know you think I'm strange or weird coming up and talking to you, but I know that your soul matters and that somebody must be praying for you. And that's why I'm here. Somebody's been praying for you and God brought me to you, because God won't just lead you astray. You just pray, God, send me to whoever you want me to go to, and God will send you. God will use you. 5 people, 1 a day. Just try it. It's part of your job description. You can't make a disciple until you evangelize them first. They can't follow you until they know Christ. So the first part of our job description is to share the gospel. Get your mind off everything else. And let's focus on His work. Not just what we want to do. His work. And let's do it. I want you to come back next week and have some testimonies. I want to hear stories about how you shared Christ with people. Got me? All right, I'm looking at your faces now and I'm clicking them in. I'm going to hunt you down if you don't. I'm going to find you. Because I'm telling you, I'm dark in there. There's a dark man in there. Deep, dark man. That's not a good person. And that's why I have to lean on Him. I have to trust Him. I have to. I love you guys. I really do. I missed you while I was gone. Had some good time alone with the Lord. But I love our church family. Played golf almost every day. That was awesome. Yep, in the mountain courses all by myself. Got to share with different people. Because sometimes they would say, oh, there's a guy going out here. You want to go in? Sure. Get to talk about Jesus. Talk about church. Talk about my family. But most importantly is I had some great times with God. One morning I was sitting out watching the sun come up, and I was able to pray for my wife and our church family, and I was just praying for all these people. And I was literally sitting there at 5 a.m., and I stayed there till 6:45, 7 o'clock, about 2 hours, just reading my Bible and praying, and I watched the sun come up. It was Thursday morning, and it was just incredible just to be alone with God and have that kind of just quality place. You don't get to see places like those mountains where the sun comes up over the mountains and it's just so gorgeous. The smoke from the Smokies, it's just beautiful. I was sitting in Asheville, between Cherokee and Asheville. I was going to Dr. Nick's cabin. I didn't want to show up too early. So I actually left at night And then I ended up sleeping in my car for a couple hours, and I couldn't sleep in my car, so I just stayed up and prayed. Read. So I just said, you know what? I was going to be there early and hang out, and I just ended up being alone with God. Because by the time I ended up getting there, I didn't realize it was so far away. I thought it was only a couple hours, so I left, and I realized it's a long way from one side of the state to the other side of the state. A long way. A lot longer than I thought. And but God was so faithful and so good. And I want to tell you, it's His presence that we need. It's not more of this, and it's not more of that. It's more of Jesus. Amen. That's what we need. You want more of Jesus? Because you got all you want right now. He's there with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And you are as close to Him as you choose to be. If you want more of Him, you can have more of Him. It's up to you. He's not going to say, no, no, you get away from me. You stay away from me. No, He's like, come to me, all you who are weary laden, and I will give you rest. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank You for Your love and Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for always being here for us. God, I pray that You would keep us on track, that we would remember what our mission is, what our job is, and that we would fulfill our job description, that we would love You more than anything else, and that we would tell the world about You. God, fill us up with Your grace and mercy, that we might practice Your presence every day, and that people might see Jesus in us. We love You, Lord, and thank You for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information, visit us at nwcc777.com.